Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Reining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Pause IM Radio. My name is Robert Reining, and I am your host. I am joined by my co-host, Jeremy Dunn. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I am terrific tonight. How is everybody? Good evening.
So tonight's topic, we're going to discuss HIV disclosure, when and how you should do it. It's basically kind of a controversial topic between people with HIV. A lot of people have different views. They start from that you should tell, you know, the moment you meet the person all the way to, you know, never. Some people have different views of the spectrum, and it's different for every individual. So tonight me and Jeremy are going to discuss a little bit on our end and then maybe some articles that I found online. Actually, this topic was made a discussion on the Pause IM community, and we're going to be checking that out too. So, Jeremy, do you have anything to say about it?
About disclosure? This for me, disclosure is really personal. And I know a lot of folks out there think that disclosure relies totally on the positive person, but I think disclosure relies on both partners because it takes two or more, you know, when you're having sex. Sometimes more is a little bit more fun, but hey, who knows? But, you know, but both parties are responsible, as far as I'm concerned, when they're having sex, because it's you're responsible for your own health. Somebody can't be responsible for you. So that's where I weigh in on the subject.
Right. Well, the way that I look at it is, for me, in my own personal experience, sometimes you're not, I feel that you're not able to actually disclose your status, because I had a big problem with it because I was in denial for the longest time, and it was so hard for me to actually accept it myself, let alone actually speak the words out of my mouth to somebody else. You know, I had that fear of, like, rejection all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, because when you disclose to someone, you think that the people aren't going to accept you for who you are. They just see you as a big scarlet letter. You know,
absolutely.
AIDS, HIV, oh my God. So there's a lot to be said about accepting your own status and being comfortable with being able to tell someone else. But on the other hand, on the other side of the coin is the rejection issue, because people want to be connected. People want, you know, we're sexual beings. We want to be able to go out and be with someone. And it's really hard sometimes to explain to someone that you do have this virus. But at the same time, you want people to be accepting of you. And you would think by now that people would understand that just because you have HIV or AIDS doesn't mean that there are precautions to take from spreading it and from contracting it. So, to me, it's a two-way street.
I agree. I mean, a lot, like I said, I was in denial in the beginning, but when I first was diagnosed, I was with somebody who, you know, I was with for, I would say maybe, I want to say maybe it's like 3 years. And like when I found out, it was like I had to tell that person because I was with them. You know what I mean? And I couldn't not tell that person. And it was the hardest thing. Like, so it was easy for me to tell somebody because they kind of were with me when I was diagnosed. So it was easy for that. But after I broke up with that person, I find it very difficult, one, to go out and even date again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you always had in the back of the mind, you had to have that talk with somebody.
Right, right. And sometimes it's the timing. When do you tell?
Exactly.
You know, is it on that first date when you're getting to know someone? Do you say to them, oh, hi, you know what, I'll have the spaghetti, and by the way, I'm HIV positive.
Yeah, right.
How do you tell someone? When do you tell someone? And or is it? I always think of that movie Jeffrey. If anybody remembers that movie,
yeah,
with Steven Weber, and there's the opening scenes when Jeffrey's in bed with the conquest of the day. And they're passing back and forth, okay, what STDs do you have? Do you have the flu? Do you have this? Do you have that? It was like a checklist. And they were doing that as they were in bed together. And so it's always the timing. When do you say something to someone? And when do you expect when do you expect them to tell you?
Yeah, I found it very, difficult when after I broke up with the person I was with when I was diagnosed, I dated different people in between, and I found that as I went, on with dating people, I found it was easier for me to actually disclose to people. Like, it was hard to say it, and I would find, weird ways. Like, I wouldn't bring it up. I would just cry all the time, and people would worry what's wrong with me. You know what I mean? And it was just, I couldn't say it. And I found out,
right.
But I did find out one thing. When I would get drunk, it would be easy for me to say it. You know what I mean? Because then I had guts. You know what I mean?
it's liquid courage,
Mm-hmm.
You keep drinking, you'll do anything. Yeah, I've been known to say many things when I was drunk, but it goes back to what I said right at the start of the show is it's so personal and so individual. And it depends on how comfortable you are with it. But it's also important that if you're going to go into a relationship with someone, that they understand that you don't hold back, because not telling them is just as bad as lying sometimes.
Very true, very true. I know, when I was first found out and everything, I was kind of scared to mention it, and I went into a denial. And when I broke up with the partner that I was with, I actually ended up becoming heavily involved with the wrong crowd and addicted to drugs. And I would visit places like bathhouses where I would go to seek attention because I felt like I wasn't getting it. I didn't give it to myself, let alone, somebody else. So I would go and seek attention, and I remember I would be so high on whatever I was on, when I was there, that it didn't even cross my mind. The only thing I
right.
had to make sure is that I had a condom on and I was safe to go. That was my
right.
mindset.
Right. And disclosure is just there's many phases to disclosure, and part of it is disclosing to yourself and really accepting it yourself. And if you're not willing to accept it yourself, I don't think you can expect someone else to accept it.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but even in the gay community, and I know not that everybody who's HIV positive is gay, but speaking as a gay man who is HIV positive, when I was still dating, It was amazing how many people out there didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to talk to you or talk to me even. When I said I was HIV positive, they would say, "Oh, well, thank you and goodbye." That whole rejection, that whole aspect of, oh my God, HIV is such a dirty, bad thing that I can't be who I am, and I can't tell people that I'm HIV positive because they'll think I'm a bad person.
Right, and the whole rejection starts with ourselves rejecting it. You know what I mean? It was such a big thing for me. I can't even explain it. It was just such a rejection on myself. And I just want to remind the callers and the listeners out there that they can call in. The number to call in is 347-215-9442. Tell us your stories about disclosure, maybe when you disclosed, if you disclosed, and maybe your thoughts on it. I know a lot of people find it. I found online this little article that I found on thebody.com. that there's like certain rules that they have out there in certain states that are very strict about this, that people actually go to jail and, you know, they have, you know, it's a, they consider it a criminal conviction for exposing somebody else to HIV through sex. It's rare, but it happens.
They can, and there's more. There are more lawsuits showing up, and they're putting all of the onus on the HIV positive person. And something else I want the listeners to understand is that there are still a little over almost 300,000 people out there who don't know they're infected. So how do you, so? Everybody needs to be responsible for their own status, and people need to learn how to ask about it, and people and HIV positive folks need to learn how to be, how to respond to it when they're asked. Of course you can't lie.
Right. I know. I tell people that all the time. It's like my little saying is that I found myself in my HIV status after I finally accepted it and moved on and started doing things, like in the last 3 years is when I started sharing my story and I set up my website, pazim.com, and it kind of opened me and exposed me to become who I am. And it just like, it was like a whole new world opened up once I accepted it and was willing to share it with people.
Right. And really learning how to, I think, you know, looking at it and taking the time to deal with it, not rushing into anything, because HIV, when you find out, is very much, it's a grieving process. You go through all the steps. You know, you go through the denial, you go through the anger, you go through the acceptance. You go through all those pieces of the grieving process, and you have to allow yourself to go through the process, because it is a process. It's step by step. Not, and you don't go through the, you don't go through the steps in order. There's no like A, B, C, or D. You go through it in a cycle, you know. So I mean, you could be accepting one day and angry the next, and I know from my point of view is that I still have my angry days.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's been several years, 3 years since my diagnosis. So it's not just something that you can just jump to the end of. You have to really walk, you have to go through and allow yourself to go through that process. And being able to disclose it is so difficult sometimes, because you don't know how people are going to react. Even when I'm not disclosing, when I wasn't disclosing to a sexual partner, just saying it flat out to someone that what I considered a friend and said, you know, by the way, I'm HIV positive. It was sometimes amazing to see their reactions. Because it's like disclosing to your parents, and I'll tell you a quick story. When I disclosed to my parents, I was so ashamed, and I was so upset that I was telling my parents that I was HIV positive, because I felt that I had let them down.
I understand.
You know, and I let myself down, and it was such a hard thing to do. And what topped everything off is I wasn't able to tell my parents in person. I had to tell them over the phone. So I'm sitting in my garage in Colorado, and I'm saying, "Mom, Dad, by the way, I have HIV," and the silence on the other end of the phone was deafening.
I'm sure.
I could just imagine their eyes welling up, and But it wasn't the sadness that I felt. It was the disappointment. It was the disappointment in myself that I felt come through the telephone.
Okay, well, hold on one second. I don't want to cut you off, but we have a caller online.
Oh,
so
great.
We're going to go to the caller.
Oh, terrific.
Caller with area code 212. You are on the air with Robert and Joseph.
Robert and Joseph, my name is Timothy. How are you?
Hey, Timothy, how are you?
What's going on?
Timothy, by the way, it's Robert and Jeremy.
Did I say Joseph?
You did.
I'm sorry.
That's your replacement, Jeremy.
That's where that, my partner's name is Joseph, so that's where that came from. You know, he's on my mind all the time.
It's nice to know that I'm up there with the loved ones.
Yeah, he must be listening or something.
Nice day.
So, Timothy, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan.
Okay, all the way up to New York.
All the way.
So what is your take on disclosure?
Well, I mean, you know, I have so much to say, you guys will never get me off the line here.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. We've got 42 minutes.
Not long enough. Okay, listen, so I've been positive over half my life. I'm 44 years old. I was infected when I was 21, and it was in the early 80s in the mid-80s when nobody talked about it. It was, you know, it was a death sentence. It was horrible. And, you know, on top of that, I was 21 years old. I was a very young man, and it was devastating because I had no one to turn to because of the time that it was. I mean, you know, nobody talked about it because everybody knew that it was, you know, a death sentence and it was something bad and horrible. For the longest time, I told every sexual partner that I was HIV positive because I felt that it was my duty to inform people. And needless to say, I went years without getting laid. So at one point in the mid-90s, I thought to myself, if he can go down on his knees and ask to suck my dick, then he can open up his mouth and ask me if I'm positive. If people don't take responsibility for their own lives, and I'm not in charge of babysitting the entire gay community. And I feel very strongly about that. I don't think that, especially now, in this day and age, I mean, in 85, 86, it's one thing. But in 2008, everybody knows. It's on, you know, advertisements for drugs are everywhere. Everyone talks about AIDS and HIV, and nobody's head is up their ass anymore. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. So if someone doesn't ask, it's their own fault. Now,
just watch the profanity
to me. I'm sorry?
I said just watch the profanity for me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I don't want to get kicked off the air.
Oh, my God. You should have told me.
That's all right. Don't worry.
I'm a friend of Linda's, actually, so you can blame her. Munch. I call her Munch, by the way, because she's a munchkin. But anyway, I feel very strongly about the fact that everybody is responsible for themselves. If somebody asks me now, of course I tell them. I don't lie about my status, but I don't think that it is my responsibility to take care of you because if you are so, you know, eager to have sex, that person has to take responsibility for themselves.
Right. Sometimes, yeah. I agree with that sometimes.
What do you mean sometimes? Why don't you agree with it
all? Sometimes. I don't know. I'm just the type of person who I feel that I'm the one who has the HIV. I'm the one, you know what I mean, like yes, everybody should ask, you know what I mean, but some people don't ask, and I feel I have to tell. I don't know. I just feel like I have to.
Well, I think that goes back to what Timothy was saying, it's ultimately personal responsibility. So you're taking the personal responsibility to disclose. And whether or not the other person is taking that responsibility, you know, that truly is up to that person. And
I mean,
they have to live and they have to live with the decision that they're making.
Right.
It's definitely a personal decision what to do, and it's your personal decision to disclose to everybody, and that's good for you, and that works for you, and it keeps you with a clear conscience. I did have sex once with a guy, and afterwards he asked me, and this he turned out to be a straight mobster from Staten Island. So, quotes around the street. So he said, you know, I guess this is like, you know, closing the barn door after the horse is out, but are you negative? I was like, no, I'm positive. I literally thought he was going to kill me. And
oh,
I tried to explain to him. I tried to explain to him that it was his responsibility, but of course, he was not seeing it that way. So I had to, you know, alert my friends of his name just in case I, you know, ended up in the East River. But that was probably one of the scariest things one of the scariest encounters I've ever had with somebody. I mean, a lot of people do ask afterwards, and you know, I tell them, but you know, at that point. You know,
yeah,
people
kind of over with.
What are they going to do? Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, there is something called criminal transmission of HIV, which is exactly what you guys were saying. Not disclosing is supposedly a criminal offense.
Well,
but
it goes down to the. I have a big problem with the whole criminalization thing. First of all, if you lie about it, that's one thing. But if neither person discloses, that's a horse of a different color. And yes, I used a Wizard of Oz reference.
Oh, you're gay.
No.
Well, it's funny because the one I'm looking at, the article that was written on the body, and the one law for California is that if you disclose before you insert, you cannot be prosecuted.
Insert where?
Well, anywhere.
I would imagine any orifice.
Anywhere.
Oh, that's interesting. Well,
you cannot prosecute for oral sex. That's one thing that you cannot prosecute for.
Oh, thank God for Bill Clinton. I knew he did something.
I just think that everybody should start taking responsibility for themselves and stop passing the blame. And personally, I mean, this is a personal, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to scream about what I'm about to say next, but I mean, I think in this day and age, if you're getting infected, you're pretty stupid. I mean, you know, I got infected in 85. It was a completely different world. Now with everything that's out there, all the information, it's like, I just don't understand what people are doing. Unless you're lied to, which by the way, I was lied to as well, but you know,
so was I.
In this day and age, if you're out there partying, drinking, and you know what the consequences are, and you expose yourself to that anyway, then I have no sympathy. You know what I mean? I have absolutely no sympathy.
Boy, am I in the minority in this one. I have no idea where I got it. I think, you know, I don't know. It was like West Hollywood 1992. I have no idea.
Yeah, see, I don't know either. I mean, I can think I got it from a certain person, but I'm not 100% sure. People told me that he was positive after I broke up with him, so I'm really not 100% sure because he denied it the whole time.
Well, I didn't ask.
Do you blame that person? I did ask, but do you blame that person? Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you blame the person that infected you, or is it your responsibility because you didn't ask?
No, I don't blame anybody, but, you know, I was a part of the game. Yeah, absolutely. I can't hold somebody solely responsible for my actions. I mean, I willingly participated in everything I did.
Right.
So I can't hold, nobody had a gun to my head and said, have unprotected sex. Not
right.
One person did. I said, it doesn't matter. I take responsibility for my actions.
Well, I don't take responsibility for my actions because I was so young, and it was a completely different world. And I did say, "What about this AIDS thing?" Because it had just become AIDS. It was before that; it was called GRIDS, and it had literally, like, you know, 2 months it had been AIDS. And I was like, you know, "What about this AIDS thing?" And this guy's like, "Oh, I've been tested 100 times." Now I'm such a whore that I don't know what would have happened if he would have told me that he wasn't tested. Or that he
right.
was HIV, which he didn't know he was HIV positive. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know what I would have done.
Well, crying out loud, you could have probably gotten it from poppers back then.
What do you mean? Oh, well.
Yeah, you know, because, good Lord, they thought that poppers gave it to you. I mean, it's
I mean, they thought, anything that was related to the gay community, they were like...
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know,
it was...
Three years after I was done dating him, he was in the hospital in an AIDS ward, which I don't even know if they have AIDS wards in hospitals anymore, and somebody's mother that I worked with was in the hospital, and that guy saw this mutual friend, my ex-lover, in the AIDS ward, and he's like, you better call him and confront him, because he's got it. And I called him, and he's like, yeah, I'm in the AIDS ward, I got it. And I was like, as soon as he said it, I knew it, because we had... you know, really rough, unprotected sex all the time. And, I mean, it was just, like, I just knew. So it was absolutely devastating. It was, I felt like I was alone. I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. And now I'm the type of person, as you can tell by my foul mouth, probably, that I don't care who knows anything about me. You know what I mean? I'm 44 years old. I have made my own life exactly what I wanted of it. And if you don't like it, you can, you know, kiss my butt. I don't care what people think.
I got a question for you, Tim.
What?
Oh, I got a feedback. Somebody lower the radio.
It's not me. My radio's not on.
I don't have my radio on.
Somebody's is oh, not anymore. Okay. I got a question for you, Tim. If you could, would you change it?
My status?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, see,
absolutely.
I'm the type of person that I would not change it.
I'm absolutely grateful for the gift that it has given me, and you know you have to make lemonade out of those lemons.
Right.
But of course I don't want to, you know, and I'm so sick of the, you know, oh, I could go out and get hit by a bus theory. Well, why don't you go out and get hit by a bus? Because I'm not going to get hit by a bus. I'm going to die some horrible death of the plague. Do you know what I mean? It's like if I could change this, I absolutely would. And I'm sure you guys will sympathize with me and be able to relate to this, but every time you get a cold, you think, is this the end? Every time you get a cut, how fast does it heal? You know, every time there's a spot, oh, my God, is that KS? Is it, you know what I mean? It's like everything that happens, you wonder if this is the beginning of the end. And I would love to not live with that fear anymore, fear of cold and flu season. Fear of little children getting near me because they're nothing but germ factories. I hate children anyway, but, you know, aside from that, they do nothing but carry germs, which is fine if you have a healthy immune system. But, I mean,
right.
For us, it's, you know, cold and flu season is really very dangerous. And
you're absolutely right, Tempe. And last year I ended up with MRSA that ended up as sepsis,
which
landed me in a hospital for 5 days. And, you know, well, it's, you know, I almost didn't make it through the weekend. So it's every little thing that happens to all of us, it's, and to relate this back to disclosure, is if our partners don't understand what's going on with us, then that's our fault for not informing them. Because if we're not if we can't accept our own, if we can't accept it, then the problem is that we could be putting our own lives in danger if our partners don't understand and can't and don't know how to take care of us if the unimaginable happens.
That's so very interesting.
You know, I think because God forbid that, and again, on a personal note, last year I had to call a friend to come and take me to the hospital because I could not drive myself. I couldn't get a cab to take myself, and I was too afraid to get an ambulance.
Why?
Because I was terrified of taking an ambulance. Don't ask
because
me why. I don't know. Don't have a clue. But all I know is that I had 103.5 temperature. I said, you have to get me to the hospital. And I was afraid to call an ambulance. Because I know why. Because I didn't want my parents to find out that I was sick.
This was before you told them.
This was No, this was just last year.
Oh, okay.
They've known for a while, but I didn't want them to know that I was going to the hospital. I didn't tell my family till after I got out. And so I think to myself, like, oh, God, if I don't tell somebody in my close-knit circle, they're going to find me dead in the apartment by myself, rotting away. You know, so that's me. That type of disclosure is so much different than sex disclosure.
Yes.
But equally as important.
Well, if I can just say one thing, Joseph, Justin, Jonathan,
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Who the hell are you?
Other man on the line. If I may be so bold as to tell you what to do, and since I'm a control freak, I will. You need to start being proud of the fact that you are a survivor of this disease and tell everybody else to kiss your ass. Because
there's your mouth again.
We, sorry, kiss your butt.
Come on, they can say ass on the WB.
They say bitch on soap operas. Anyway, turn into all my children. I have been positive over half my life. It's like having an appendage. It's like having an arm now. I'm HIV positive. I have a right arm. Do you know what I mean? Like it's such a part of me, and I'm so proud that I survived it. I have so many people, like, you know, I'm getting older, thank God. And I always used to say, better an old queen than a dead queen, which I firmly believed until my hairdresser said it's the same thing. So,
bitch.
I know exactly.
Oops.
Did I just say that out loud?
Yeah.
There's your mouth again. I'm so proud that I have lived this long, and everybody's like, oh, you're getting older, you're an old queen, and it's like, you know what, I have so many friends who are dead, who would kill to be 44 years old, who would kill to have another birthday, and I get one, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I survived this disease, and I'm proud that it's a war. We fight a war every day. Do you know what I'm saying? And we're warriors and we're survivors, and it's something to be proud of, not something to be hidden away anymore. I mean, people can go screw themselves. Do you know what I mean? People don't know what we have to go through. Not only the stigma of being gay, but now the stigma of having a deadly disease. But, okay, all of that aside, why don't you look at the positive? Why doesn't everyone look at us as survivors? We have survived this. Do you know what I mean? We have so much to be proud of and so much to live for. And until people start grasping it and realizing it and embracing it, there's still going to be a stigma of fear and hate around it.
Absolutely. If we don't
Where's the applause? My goodness.
Absolutely. If we don't accept our own status, nobody else is going to.
Right.
And it's like we have to get over the hump in order to move on, because the world is waking up around us, but we're still hiding it, and that's why people are – that's why the stigma is out there, because we're afraid of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, at least that's what I think about it.
I don't fear. I don't fear anymore. I don't care what people think. And I work – you know, I'm at a point in my life I work for myself. I don't really – you know, I don't have to deal with corporate America, so I don't really know what that's like.
Right.
I did once – one of my personal trainers, his boyfriend was a cop, and this has nothing to do with being HIV positive, but this has to do with being gay. His boyfriend, the cop, would not disclose to his other coworkers that he was gay, and I used to get all upset about that, because I always used to say, if everybody who was really gay came out of the closet, it would be more accepted. And this guy said, if he tells people that he's gay and he's in a situation where there's gunfire, they're not going to cover him because they hate fags. So
right.
I sort of got it at that point, and I sort of get not disclosing. And it again goes back to personal comfort. If you don't want to disclose it, then you don't have to disclose it. But to lie about it is the problem, not disclosing it, but lying about it. If you have sex with somebody and then they say, are you positive, and you lie, that's a problem.
Let me ask you this. Do you think safe sex without disclosing is okay?
Absolutely. What's the point? If you're having safe sex, what's the point of opening your pie hole? You're not hurting anybody. Nobody's hurting you. It's like using a dildo. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Why should you disclose if you're not transmitting any fluids?
I don't know. See, I'm the opposite side. I mean, and that's the great thing about this topic, and that's why I chose it, because you could be so far away but still on the same page. You know what I mean? Like, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm the type of person where, what if that shit breaks? Oops, did I say that? What if it breaks? You know what I mean? Like, if it breaks, then you have this guilt you live with for the rest of your life. Like, that's my biggest thing, is I'm so concerned about infecting my partner. I guess the thing I worry about the most is, God forbid, condom breaks.
And Robert, I did infect my partner because you know my story. I didn't get tested for the longest time, and I didn't know I was positive, because I figured that if I didn't know it, I didn't have it.
Oh, I know that feeling.
So, you know, I think part of this whole issue is absolute, is, you know, we're sitting here talking, you know, accepting it yourself and admitting to yourself, but the other piece to all of this is learning yourself, going to the doctor, going to the clinic, going wherever you're going to go, get tested and know your status.
Right, and people have to not be afraid to take your partner with you. When you go to these things, like, your partner should be with you and listening to the doctor and what he's telling you. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's the way I look at it. I feel like if I'm going to get tested or something, I want my partner there so he can understand what the doctor's going through, because things might go over my head, but he'll catch everything that I miss. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And I just want to remind everybody out there, if you're interested in calling into Pause IM Radio, just give us a call at 347-215-9442 and talk to Robert and Jeremy, not Robert and Jonathan. Joseph, whoever the hell I am.
Now, Tim, are you on meds?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I'm not on meds.
I actually will tell you that I just finished a study at the University of Pennsylvania, and what they did was they harvested 1 billion of my white blood cells, and then they altered them and mutated them, and they turned them into 70 billion blood cells, white blood cells, and they infused them back into me. And
oh, wow.
My T cells went from, like, I don't know, 310 to over 750. And so I feel like I got, you know, 10 years, 12 years back on my immune system. But the part of the deal with the study was, I was supposed to, after the infusions, I was supposed to go off my medication. But I didn't want to go off my medication because, you know, if you're in a study, and I don't know if either of you have done drug studies for HIV drugs, but I'm no stranger to them. It's like you're a guinea pig. And they take you off and they make you do it. And then if it doesn't work, they're like, oh, well, sorry. So I didn't want them, you know, I got a lot of T cells back, so I didn't want to go down to where I was again and have them say, well, it didn't work.
Right.
So I decided to, you know, excuse myself from the study, but stay on medication and still be monitored by the hospital. Because I just don't have the wherewithal in my head right now to be worried about the fluctuation of T cells and what I should do with my medication. So I feel like I got a huge, huge, you know, gift by going into this study. That said, I'm sick of all the chemicals running around in my system, but I'm too afraid to stop them.
Right. See, I'm afraid to do studies. Like, they scare me.
Well, I was on, I actually did a study.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Who's this, Robert? Robert is afraid to do the studies?
I'm afraid to do studies, absolutely.
Okay, it's so ironic. You're afraid to do studies, which will help other HIV-positive people, but you're hell-bent on protecting people who mean nothing to you. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. You should do studies because we're all helping each other that way. We're all guinea pigs.
Yeah,
if,
but
I mean,
if
you
do
have
a
no problem in saying to someone, oh, I'm HIV-positive and not getting laid because they're going to judge you, but you won't help the cause by going to do studies.
But certain studies I don't agree with, because they're just, to me, it's just, it's a study, and if it deteriorates my health in some way, I don't want that to affect because I've been positive for 7 years. I haven't been on meds. My counts are very, very good, and I don't want to mess with that by being put on some study with medication and having it possibly be worse.
You have 3 years left. You have 3 years before it's all going to start deteriorating. It's
but you don't know that.
Is the mark. No, I
do. You don't know that.
10 years is the mark where you have to really start paying attention.
Well,
at
everybody's
10 years,
different.
Well, I mean, this is I'm going by the norm here. 10 years is the sort of mark where they start really everything sort of shifts. So at 10 years, if your T cells start to drop or something starts to happen, then you might want to think about going into a study. But I didn't go on medication for the first 10 years. And because the only medication they had was AZT, and I was, for some reason, I did not, I guess the reason was I didn't want a daily reminder that I had this disease in the 80s. But when now the doctors say that the fact that I didn't go on medication, that I didn't take the AZT, is the only reason I'm alive. So I think that everybody should wait as long as possible. Do you know what I mean? Don't go on any meds until you absolutely have to. But at that point, you might want to think about doing a drug study because you'll be monitored for free and monitored more closely than you would by just your GP.
That's right. Absolutely true.
And you might be helping the community. Do you know what I mean? I'm not an advocate for the drugs. I think the drugs are hateful and horrible, although they keep us alive. But the side effects are ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. But If you can hold out as long as you can, and then once something starts to shift and your T cells start to drop and your viral load starts to go up and there's nothing, listen, I did acupuncture, acupressure, I saw, you know, I went reflexology, I saw herbalists in Chinatown, I did everything I could, but my T cells kept falling like a stone. So I was forced, and luckily I found a drug study. I was one of the first people on Viracept many, many years ago before it even came out. It was a study ran by Dr. David Ho, which is Magic Johnson's doctor. He was, you know, Times Man of the Year for all of his strides that he made. But without that study, I would have died. So I say stay off the drugs as long as you can. There's no rush as long as you have a healthy immune system. But once it starts to fall, you might want to think about doing a study because of all the perks you get. And the perks are being so closely monitored and, you know, so well taken care of because they really want. If you're in a study, it's so much more concentrated than if you're just going to your regular doctor.
It's for free, and sometimes they'll pay you.
Right, exactly.
When I was on the study for Maraviroc, I went in and got $25 a pop. I'm like, woohoo, lunch money.
Well, you know what? You know what, Tim? I want to thank you for calling in. I do have another caller online, so I'm going to hang out with you and let them get on. But
right,
I want to thank
so
you
much.
For calling in and sharing some of your story with us. I appreciate it all the way up there
well,
in New York.
I'll be listening
thanks,
to you next
Tim.
Week. Okay,
all right,
you.
Have a good night.
All right,
thanks
you
a lot. Have a good night.
So, as soon as I can. So, Jeremy, what do you think of that?
You know, it's and not to – I think it's so common. A lot of my – other HIV positive brothers and sisters they have the same sentiment, especially the long-term survivors, the ones who, the folks that have been positive for so long. There's so much wisdom that we can gain from them. A lot of our four brothers and sisters, they died for us. Many of them were on AZT. And we're overdosed. And so it's the virus. We're learning so much about this virus every day.
And the cool thing about it is, like some people who may not be listening, may not be a part of, you know, the PosIM community, and that's fine. You can check it out if you go to PosIM.com and click on Join PosIM, and like that's kind of like why I did something like this and created the website because. I wanted to learn more about it, but I wasn't learning the correct things from the doctors. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to hear, like, statistics and the HIV nutrition book thrown at me and tell me to read that. I wanted to hear, like, experiences, and that's, like, the whole purpose of the PosIM community and why I created it. Because you know how much I've learned just from reading about Bob Bowers or just reading the blogs, like Mark's blog that he started on PosIM and stuff like that. Like those, just reading stories, I find
right.
so much more comfort in. And I lost that caller, so that's why I didn't go to the caller. They hung up.
Oh.
Just so you know.
See how that is.
But
well, if they're wanting to call back, they can call in at 347-215-9442. You know, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, which are the stories that we give, which we hear, which we share. There's also all the statistics out there. There's all kinds of stuff out in, you know, in the blogosphere, in the webosphere, all out there on the internet that we can go and find. But personally, I think when it comes to really understanding HIV and AIDS, it's talking to someone who has it, learning from that person, and that person is disclosing their status to you. And see how I looped all that back?
Absolutely.
Back to disclosure, see that?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, an HIV, a person with AIDS has to disclose in order for someone to learn from them. And that's so important, you know. So it's learning from each other, learning from, you know, those newbies who are just diagnosed, who don't know what's going on. Their world has been turned upside down. They're going to learn so much from someone that has survived with this virus.
Right, and all they got to do is go on PosIM Community, and you'll find plenty of people because we have newbies there too, you know, people like
yep.
Timmy and Bob Bowers who have been half their life, you know, living with this disease. It's something that people can live with. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very, I don't know, it's very difficult to explain. You know what I mean? Like how it affects people in different ways. Everybody's an individual when it comes to them, and they deal with it in different ways. Like we said last week, some people cry, some people are angry all the time, you know, and it's just how you want to deal with it. It's kind
exactly.
of, you know.
Exactly. Some folks tend to crawl inside of themselves and hide away from the world. Some folks kind of, like me, scream at the top of their lungs on the tallest perch and say, look at me, I'm HIV positive, look at me, I'm living, look at me, do I look sick to you? You know, and it's funny, and I say that, do I look sick to you? Because I've disclosed my status to folks, and usually the most common response is, well, you don't look sick.
Absolutely.
Like,
that's always the thing. Well, you don't look like you got it. What am I supposed
to? Yeah,
this is what it looked like in 2008.
Here it is.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not watching Philadelphia. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
It's
you're
not like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. Granted, there are some in
right.
the later stages of the virus
right.
that, you know, you start looking ill and thin and you do get the spots and you do get the cough and the PCP, that is all still happening. But in this decade, in the 21st century, in 2008, in the United States of America, it's very difficult to tell if someone is HIV positive or not.
And you saw that the game that's online you can go to is PosOrNot.com. .org, I think, or .com. It's POS, and
yeah,
it's like that game
that
you go back and forth, and it shows you the picture of the person, and it's like, can you tell, does this person have HIV or not? And you get to choose, and then when you choose either positive or negative, it comes up with a little explanation of the person and says, you know, I'm not negative, or I'm negative, or I'm positive, and it kind of just shows people that HIV doesn't look like a certain thing. HIV doesn't have a face.
No, it looks like, and for anybody who's looking in the mirror, it could be you.
Right.
And
now I got a question
know,
for you, Jeremy. Do
yeah.
you do you feel like, what made you want to tell your story? What made you want to start PositivelySpeaking.com and just be like, let me just publicly do it?
Because I didn't want anyone to repeat what I went through. I didn't get tested. I didn't want to be tested because I didn't want to know. And I think that what made me, I didn't want to know because, frankly, it was the stigma of the whole virus. So I wanted people to hear my story and read my story and understand that stigma wasn't going to stop me, and it shouldn't stop anyone else, because it's knowing your status and getting a jump on this disease, on this virus, sooner the better, and understanding it and really knowing your status, that's when you start to deal with it. And that's what I wanted people to know. So that's why I started PositivelySpeaking.com, so they would understand, so people out there in the world would understand that testing is so important. Getting tested, knowing your status, and if you're going to be in a long-term relationship, and for me, I think disclosure for me was not a problem because I told everyone. there's no one out there that didn't know. But I always made an effort to mention it because I'm taking responsibility for my health. You know, it's not just HIV that you have to worry about. Syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes. There's so many other things out there that for someone with HIV is a lot harder to treat.
Right,
so
and the big thing is you can't be afraid to ask questions. You can't be afraid to go online and look at things and join different sites and forums and stuff, because that's where you're going to find information and you're going to find people just like yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was my purpose of doing things like this, you know what I mean, of doing the radio show so people could listen and relate and call in and share experiences like, you know, Timothy did this week and Dino and Linda last week, because it affects everybody. And it was like I felt I wanted to go more public. Like, my mom hates the fact that I have the website. She's really upset, like, because she just thinks she's the type of person, and she grew up when she grew up, and I understand, and, you know, there's a lot of stigma around it, and she was the type of person who was like, I don't think you need to tell everybody, do you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's her thing, and she's so worried about, like, people, what people think of me, and what
right,
people,
and,
you know what I mean? And she doesn't see that, all the good that's coming out of what I'm doing. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
well,
when I get emails from people and they're telling me that, you know, the testimonials you read on the website from people like you or Bob Bowers, it, like, that touches me. Like, that you come to my place that I created and you found your comfort zone. And I think it's amazing.
Well, and I think that goes back to, and okay, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to blame Ronald Reagan. I just am. When HIV/AIDS appeared on the scene back in the early 80s, Reagan didn't even speak the disease because for about 7 years into a term. And it was looked at that only drug dealers, prostitutes, homosexuals, the groups of people that society shunned at the time, that it was, you know, well, they only did it to themselves.
Right.
So it came to be synonymous with something dirty, with something seedy, with something, you know, just that you did in dark back rooms that nobody talked about. And that has to change. And that's why I'm so public about it, because, you know, people are people. We're humans, and we're going to have sex.
Right.
Plain and simple, people are going to have sex. There are going to be intravenous drug users. There are going to be hemophiliacs out there. People are going to be doing things, behaviors. The person isn't the bad person. You know, I made some decisions in my life that, you know, I might not regret them, but I could have rethought them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if I had things to rethink about and possibly, you know, it's like, gosh, if I had made another decision, you know, I probably wouldn't be positive today. But
right.
The fact of the matter is that I chose and I went down paths, and I was fully responsible for those paths, and I was fully responsible for my actions.
Yeah, a lot of my bad decisions were made while I was under the influence of something I shouldn't have been. You know what I mean? And it really fogged me up and messed me up a lot. But
right.
We're getting down to the final 3 minutes of the show, so I wanted to actually thank everyone for tuning in at our late time this evening. I know, Jeremy, it's very late for you because you're a 9-to-5 kind of guy, and you're like, woo, you need your beauty sleep, right?
beauty sleep? Hell, I need a beauty week.
But I also wanted to do a special shout-out to one of the PosIM members, and her name is Marvelyn Brown, and you may have seen her on the website. You may have known her. She is a very known activist in the world. She is a native Tennessee woman who works with numerous HIV and AIDS outreach groups. She has extensive radio and television experience. She's been on the Oprah Show, MTV, BET. Like, this girl is, she's like one of those like big time activists, and like, I totally respect this woman. I met her on MySpace. I call her my little firecracker because she just, her picture, you got to see it. Like, she just cracks me up, and she just came out with her first book, and it's a biography of her life. It's called The Naked Truth. Young, Beautiful, and HIV Positive is the name of it, and you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on your Barnes & Noble's, your Borders book. And she's actually won, she's very interesting. She actually won an Emmy Award for Think MTV. She's an Emmy Award AIDS activist, and she's phenomenal. If you don't know who she is, you can go to the PosIM community and check out her profile there. You can go to the member search, and then you can type in Marvelyn Brown. Her website is www.marvelynbrown.com, and she's marvelous. If you don't know
Wonderful.
Her, go check her out. Leave her a comment. Go buy her book. I mean, I'm not a big reader. I'm the type of person who I buy a book because I want to read it so bad, and then it
takes
some
fun. I heard you do books on tape.
Yeah, I'm better off with that. And I try to look at this, you know, and I read the first two chapters, and, like, I didn't want to put it down. And then everything happened with, you know, the website, and I have
right.
you know, work to do besides that. So I haven't been able to pick it back up. But, I mean, the book, like, my nose is in the book, and I want to keep reading it. But I get distracted very easily when I read. Very easily. Tapes work better for me. But I definitely advise people, if you're listening, to go out and get it. Again, it's called The Naked Truth, Young, Beautiful, and HIV Positive. And it's by our wonderful PosIM member named Marvelyn Brown. And the best part about her book is that if you open it up and you go to the back, there's a little resource section that she has for websites and hotlines. And she actually featured the PosIM community in my website, which I'm so honored to be in her book, under the AIDS community online. So I'm very excited. You know, she gave me a plug. And I respect her a lot. She's very, very interesting, and she's become a very dear friend. And I know one day I'm going to meet her, and we're going to hit it off. And I would love to tour the world and speak with this woman. I mean, she's amazing. She really is. And I haven't – like, it just goes to show you, you don't have to meet somebody in person for them to affect your whole entire life. And she has. She has. She's affected my life.
You're absolutely right. And I think she's affected a lot of people in a very, very positive way.
Yeah, she's very, very interesting.
Yes.
I very, very much can't wait to meet that woman. But again, we're getting down to the last couple seconds, so you can either go to my website if you want to learn more about me at www.posiam.com, or you can go to Jeremy Dunn's website, Positively Speaking with a Z. Right, Jeremy?
Yes, just like Liza with a Z.
Right, absolutely. Or you could actually, if you want, you can go to PosIM.com, read about me, and then you can go to the Inspiring website page and click on Positively Speaking because there's a link there.
Awesome.
All right, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And remember, next week we'll be back at our regular time at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the afternoon. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to Paz IM Radio.
Thanks, everyone, and have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.